Welcome to this audio issue of The Big Secret on Wall Street, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on October-November 6, 2025. Volatility rocks all boats. Listening to a poet to navigate earnings season. Maintaining focus while all about you are losing theirs. Right before companies began reporting earnings in the middle of October, Bloomberg data indicated that options on stocks in the S&P 500 looked to be pricing in a 5% average move on their earnings releases, close to the highest level of implied volatility, 4, since 2022. 4 is a measure of the expected future price movement of stock, either up or down. Investors were probably right to expect bigger moves on these reports, because data from global investment bank UBS shows that volatility on earnings has been consistently rising for years. 5 years ago, the average stock price change following an earnings release for an S&P 500 stock was about 3.7%. This was mid-2020, the height of the uncertain times of the COVID-19 pandemic. By 2022, that average earnings move had risen to about 4.5%, and last quarter it was 5.5%. Keep in mind, those moves are for large cap stocks in the S&P 500. These are many of the biggest and safest companies in the index. For smaller cap companies that make up a much greater percentage of the total stocks being traded out there, the volatility is considerably higher. There are a few reasons for the increased volatility. The rise of overall leverage, borrowing to invest, in the financial system is no doubt driving a significant amount of the volatility, and there is also more uncertainty about the economy, with risks around tariffs, inflation fears, and ballooning government deficits. But most importantly, the proliferation of hedge funds targeting their trading around earnings news is a huge contributor. This is indicative of greater short-termism in stock trading. Investors are looking solely at the latest report and missing the bigger picture. Focusing so much on the very short term can lead investors to make big mistakes over the long run, missing out on great stocks that have one bad quarter. For people who are in the market every day, both the institutional investor and the day trader, this kind of volatility can affect both emotions and judgment, and this is not just about investing. It could play out in any important choice one makes. Making a highly emotionally charged choice is rarely the better route to a calm and rational one. Investors would be wise to read If, by late 19th century English poet Rudyard Kipling, it's about having resilience when facing adversity. He writes, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, if you can meet triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, yours is the earth and everything that's in it." This might be some of the best advice investors can heed during turbulent times. In this latest update of The Big Secret on Wall Street, we review 5 stocks where investors are focusing too much on the short term. 2 of the stocks are insurance companies that were effectively penalized for making too much money. There is a tobacco giant that continues to see robust growth, but its latest earnings news raised some misconceptions on pricing regarding its key new smokeless product. Then there is a leading candy maker whose results are being suppressed by temporary factors that will inevitably reverse. And finally, we look at one of our legal monopolies that continues to face near-term obstacles from the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, but yet appears to be pricing in all that risk and more. Emotions and volatility may be running high, but let's keep Rudyard Kipling in mind and focus on the facts and the bigger picture. Investors sour on Progressive, but its future is bright. One of our property and casualty holdings, Progressive, NYSE, PGR, reported, at first glance, a challenging Q3. Net premiums written grew 8.5%, robust but below analyst estimates for 12%. Investment income was highly predictable and was broadly in line with consensus, but the top line still indicates slowing growth. The bigger issues came on the cost side. The accident year loss ratio, or the ratio of losses incurred during the current year divided by premiums written, was 67.1% to 3.2% worse than the prior year. The problem? Tariffs. No, people aren't importing insurance policies. Instead, tariffs have raised the costs of autos, auto parts, and building materials. What this means is that inflated costs related to tariffs have fed into the cost Progressive has to shell out on its claims, causing overall losses to come in higher than forecast. Underwriting expenses were also a problem. The core expense ratio came in a bit worse than expected at 20.8% compared to expectations for 20%, partially driven by the denominator effect of premium growth slowing. But the main contributing factor to overall expenses was a one-time $950 million policyholder credit expense in the state of Florida, which added another 13 percentage points to the expense ratio, driving it up to 34.7%. This expense ironically stems from the fact that Progressive did too well in the Florida market. The company's profitability there was strong enough that auto policy profit in the Sunshine State from 2023 through 2025 is likely going to be greater than the limit for statutory profits. When profit from any rolling three-year period is higher than the legal limit, the company has to credit excess profits to policyholders at year-end. So Progressive had to take this one-time charge, and will reevaluate the figure at the end of Q4. All of this added up to operating earnings per share, EPS, of 33 cents, below consensus expectations of $1.34. Instead of the market looking past this one-time charge that won't repeat going forward, shares dropped 6% on earnings day. While it is true that this charge should put the company in the clear for the next 3 years, it also implies that the company over-earned over the past 3 years. The $950 million represents about $1.25 per share in after-tax earnings. Current 2026 consensus EPS is roughly $16.50 per share. If we take a third of the three-year charge, that's about 3% of current earnings power on an annualized basis. So some of the reaction here is fairly rational, but not 6%. Bigger picture though, a lot of this looks like short-term timing issues rather than any real change in the business. Ultimately, this market leader should be able to increase premiums to account for everything that has happened. And the Florida issue should be put to bed for a while now. We recommended Progressive at $131 per share. Now, at around $200, 12.5x next year's earnings, shares of Progressive are about the cheapest they have ever been in the last 25 years. This is a great time to be accumulating shares. Action to take. Buy Progressive, NYSE, PGR, up to $275 per share. Trust the long-term track record at Kinsale. Our next P&C insurance sector company, Kinsale Capital, NYSE, KNSL, reported a strong Q3, with adjusted EPS of $5.21, nicely above consensus expectations for $4.80, yet the stock fell 7% on the day the news was released. Gross written premiums were $486 million for the quarter, an increase of 8.4% from the same period a year ago, right in line with expectations. A nice improvement from the 5% growth seen in Q2. Property growth accelerated to 5% after a mid-single-digit decline in the first half of the year. But casualty growth, while up 10% in the quarter, fell a bit from the 12% increase seen in Q2. Commercial property declined 8% in the quarter. That proved to be a meaningful drag on overall growth. Underwriting results looked great at first glance. The reported loss ratio of 53.9% was well ahead of expectations, but there was some timing benefit. P&C insurers account for losses in the current period, but also rectify prior year periods for longer-tailed exposures that take more time to develop. In Q3, prior year reserve development was a 3.7% benefit to that loss ratio. Catastrophe losses were lower this quarter than normal, and that also helped the numbers a bit. There is, however, a slowdown in premium growth. Commercial property represents about 25% of total premiums and over three-quarters of the total property business. So declines there are notable. Management talked about increased competition and lower rates in select areas, but the decline appears to be slowing compared to the 17% drop seen in the first half of the year. The company thinks the market has hit a tipping point where leveling off can be expected and rate declines should abate. The P&C market is cyclical, but even with softness in certain areas, Kinsale is delivering record results. EPS should be close to $19 per share this year, up 17% from the prior year. But more importantly, it has about 500% greater earnings power than it was 5 years ago. Meanwhile, the stock is trading at just under $400 per share, 19x 2026 expected earnings. That's as cheap as it has ever been since it went public in July 2016. Fast money traders selling the stock after a few minor blips in one quarter of results have created an opportunity for long-term investors. If you don't already own shares, which we recommended at $383, we view the recent decline in the share price as a buying opportunity. Action to take. Buy Kinsale Capital, NYSE, KNSL, up to $535 per share. Misunderstanding with Zinn pushes Philip Morris shares down. Nicotine maker Philip Morris International NYSE PM reported strong Q3 results on October 21. Net revenue of $10.8 billion was in line with consensus and represented 6% organic growth on the revenue line, with volumes up 0.7% and price and mix contributing 5.2%. Within that total volume growth, heated tobacco units, HTU, like HeatSticks were up 15.5%, oral smoke-free products increased 16.9%, and 900m e-vapor volume was up 91%. The offset was cigarette volume, down 3.2%, although that was still slightly better than expected. Operating profit margins were strong, increasing 0.6% from the same period a year ago. The result, bottom line EPS of $2.24 to 15 cents ahead of analyst expectations. But despite the strong results, the stock fell 4% on the day. So what drove the sell-off? Despite the upside on the quarter, the company only narrowed its guidance for the year, raising the midpoint of the range by just a penny. Not raising numbers much despite a better-than-expected quarter implies that trends slow in the upcoming fourth quarter. That was certainly part of it. But there was also more noise around sales of the popular nicotine pouch Zyn. Zyn shipments increased 37% from the same quarter a year ago to 205 million cans, certainly very strong growth. But the company resumed its promotional activities to stimulate demand at the same time, a $100 million spending initiative that included offering free Zyn cans to customers who bought other nicotine products. Why would the company need to increase promotions when demand is so strong? Investors wondered. This same issue was raised earlier in the year, which is simply about the inventory in the channel. The company has shipped about 600 million Zyn cans to date and looks to be trying to reduce inventories in Q4 by 20 million to 30 million cans. End-user demand remains strong, but retailers, perhaps unrealistically, expected even more coming into the year. So it looks like there is too much inventory on shelves. Investors hear the words promotional activity and they assume that means a price war. But that isn't really what is happening. The North Star is end-user sales growth, which remains strong. As long as that is the case, Zyn pricing should continue to be very good once inventory gets right-sized. And it looks like that should be done by the end of the year. Sellers try to clear the decks as the calendar turns. So the fundamental story at Philip Morris hasn't really changed. What has changed is the stock's valuation. Now down to $145 per share, only 17x next year's earnings. This looks like a bargain at close to a 30% discount to the broader market multiple. Investors should take advantage and add here. Action to take. Buy Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, up to $185 per share. Hershey gaining pricing power but still working through cost issues. The Hershey Company, NYSE, HSY, reported strong Q3 results on October 30, with revenue at $3.18 billion for the quarter, about 2% ahead of analyst estimates. Organic sales growth was 6.5%. Its candy, mint, and gum, CMG, retail sales in the U.S. increased 5.4%, driven by strong product innovation and investments. Salty snacks like Dots Pretzels, Pirate's Booty, and Skinny Pop were up 10% from the year-ago period. And international sales increased 12% in the quarter. As a result of the strong pricing power, gross margins looked rock solid at 31.8%, 50 basis points better than consensus estimates, and operating expenses were held in check. So with the combination of strong revenue, better gross margins, and controlled expenses, operating income came in 10% ahead of expectations. EPS of $1.30 was well ahead of the $1.08 consensus for the period. Still, the stock ended up down 2% on the day. The culprit was Q4 guidance that wasn't nearly as strong as Q3. The implied Q4 EPS guidance of $1.29 to $1.39 was well below consensus of $1.59. Halloween sales started slower than anticipated, and the company described its seasonal performance as disappointing. Gross margin trends are also expected to be worse in Q4 compared to Q3, mainly due to higher cocoa costs and tariff expenses. The company hedges some of its costs in areas like cocoa, and the timing of those hedges is expected to hurt Q4 gross margins. Cocoa futures have come back down to earth in the last few months, and the company talked about more supply coming onto the market in the next year helping. But despite that, management still expects cocoa cost inflation next year. Favorable hedges that helped them this year at even lower levels will be ending. Cocoa prices may have come down some recently, but they are still about 70% above the levels seen a couple years ago. The company has price initiatives in place to catch up with those costs, but that takes time. Still, investors can see progress in the numbers. The 6% pricing increase in the quarter was a notch above the 5% in Q2, and it is a big acceleration from the 2% pricing from the same quarter a year ago. In the meantime, there is an old saying in commodities, the best cure for high prices is high prices. Big price increases attract more supply, and that ultimately causes prices to fall. Hershey doesn't necessarily look cheap today at 28x this year's earnings estimates, but the stock market is supposed to be forward-looking. Current earnings are artificially depressed due to high cocoa prices, a dynamic that will inevitably reverse over time. On a normalized basis, investors can buy this best-in-class company at much closer to a market multiple than at most times in history. Action to take. Buy the Hershey Company, NYSE, HSY, up to $200 per share. Choppy civil sector at Booz Allen. Consulting and technology firm Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH, which we recommended in our legal monopolies section of the portfolio in August, had a difficult Q2. Revenue came in at $2.89 billion, a decline of 8.1% compared to the same period a year ago. Investors expected down numbers, but sales were almost 3% below consensus expectations. The defense business for Booz Allen, whose largest customer is the U.S. government, continues to be strong with sales up 2% from the same quarter a year ago. Intelligence was down slightly with a 3% dip. The real culprit for the shortfall continues to be the civil business, which declined a whopping 25% year over year. This stems from reductions in U.S. government spending as a result of cuts made by DOJ. And now the government shutdown, which is not reflected in these quarterly numbers, will certainly hurt going forward. Despite the revenue shortfall, EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, of $324 million was 1% better than consensus. Adjusted EBITDA margins of 11.2% were well ahead of expectations of 10.8%. The net result was adjusted EPS of $1.49, slightly below the $1.51 consensus. But investors reacted negatively, with the stock down close to 9% after the report. The negative reaction was likely driven by the outlook for the rest of the year. The company lowered revenue guidance for fiscal 2026 to a range of $11.3 billion to $11.5 billion, down from $12 to $12.5 billion. EBITDA guidance was also reduced to between $1.19 billion to $1.22 billion from $1.32 billion to $1.37 billion. EBITDA margins are now expected to be closer to 10% rather than 11%, and EPS is now targeted at between $5.45 and $5.65 compared to consensus of $6.30. Revised guidance is down about 9% across the board. It wasn't all negative. The book-to-bill ratio, new orders compared to current revenue, was 1.7x in the quarter. That means commitments for future business were well above today's sales levels. That's a good sign for future growth. And that isn't just a one-quarter phenomenon. That book-to-bill ratio has now been 1.1x over the past 12 months. The company's backlog increased to $40 billion, a record level for this time of the year. That backlog was up 3% from the same time a year ago. So despite weaker near-term performance, leading indicators are showing strength. On the cost side, management announced another $150 million in cost-cutting. The current sluggishness is very much concentrated in the civil business while the defense and intelligence look healthy. Performance in the civil segment should return to growth in a few quarters, however, and with further right-sizing of costs ahead, the company should stabilize. Investors would be wise to look at the longer-term track record. Until this year, Booz had grown EPS every year for the last decade. While EPS looks to be down about 12% this year given the turmoil at civil, the revised fiscal 2026 estimate is still up slightly from 2024, so the longer-term growth trajectory appears intact. When a stock's earnings are cyclically depressed, the valuation often expands as the market starts to anticipate a rebound down the road. The opposite has happened with Booz Allen. It is now trading at 15.5x revised estimates, the cheapest it has been in the last decade. The risk versus reward looks very asymmetric to the upside. Investors should remain patient with a company that has earned the benefit of the doubt over time. Action to take: buy Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH up to $125 per share. Porter & Company, Stevenson, Maryland. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to The Big Secret on Wall Street. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top three buys where we highlight three current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top three buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.